Tracy Carter. Oh, thank you, Ellen. I always forget that part.
I do too.
Tracy Carter here. Ann Chandler.
Here.
Jenna Griffith. Sarah Hill.
Here.
Linda McDonald.
Here.
I see Ellen and I see Leah Gregory.
Right.
Okay. Do we have any public comment? Okay, I wasn't informed of any, so we'll move on to, I'll entertain a motion for the approval of the minutes from March 6th.
So moved.
Do I have a second? Thank you, Linda. Do I have a second?
Second.
Thank you, Sarah. Ellen, would you please take a, well, first of all, is there, oh, hey, Jenna.
Hi.
We're just voting, getting ready to vote on the approval of minutes. Is there any discussion on them? Okay. Ellen, would you go ahead and do the roll call vote?
Sure. Stacy Carter?
Yes.
Ann Chandler?
No.
Jenna?
Yes.
Sarah?
Yes.
Linda McDonald?
Yes.
Okay. Motion approved. Okay, on to unfinished business. Membership considerations. Ellen?
Sure, and I asked Leah to be here because Leah's worked with a lot of schools through the certification process, so she can answer in better detail than I can any questions any of you might have. We finished the certification process. We had one Special Library Memorial Hospital in Carbondale that asked to withdraw. All they do anymore is streaming services for their staff. They don't have a library and they don't have library space. So that was an appropriate request on their part. We had one school, the Shiloh District 85, who has never responded to any inquiry that Leah made, whether it was via email, whether it was by multiple phone calls. So the plan with Shiloh is to just follow up with a letter and say, we gave you every opportunity. We will bring a recommendation for suspension to our board if we don't hear from you. My expectation is we won't hear from them. And so we will bring this back to you for any action to suspend Shiloh. Anything to add to that, Leah?
Are they a member of SHARE?
No.
Okay.
No.
The only thing I wanted to say is I finally got a hold of them last year and they did certify reluctant to do so because he said, I don't know why, but upon talking to some people about that school, they don't really have a library or a library program and definitely no staff. So they couldn't certify anyway.
And Shiloh's located right outside of O'Fallon and Fairview Heights. So, and unfortunately in an unserved area, they don't have any public library service there. So it's unfortunate on their part. Then our last, membership piece in the first batch on the handout we sent you was for Illini Central. And Illini Central is in Clifton, Illinois. They've always worked closely with their public library. Over the years, the public library has taken on more and more responsibility for the school library program. This year, the school district totally outsourced the program to the public library. Leah and I, a couple months ago, probably now, Leah, mm-hmm. had a conversation with Karen Egan about what this would do to their membership. Mm-hmm. And the thought is, if the school doesn't have a school library program, if they've just handed it over to somebody, how can the school still be a member? So that's where we were when we put this document together for you. Honest to gosh, I was in the car at 8:30 this morning. The phone rang, it was Karen Egan, and she said, what should we do with Illini Central? Mm. And so Karen and I talked about it a little longer because they're ready to award the school per capita grants. And the thought is that Illini Central will be funded for this year. but Karen Egan wants to talk to Greg McCormick about it a little more because she said we might have to do some tightening up with the administrative code because public libraries can contract for service with other public libraries. So she wants to make sure that everything is on this. That's one way to look at it. And I'm looking at Sarah, and I know Jenna's listening. Anne is a school person. The flip side of that is the domino effect of that for school library programs. Well, if I can just outsource to the public library, why do I need to have a school library program? So I think Leah and I will be having further conversations with our colleagues at the state library about how to proceed in situations like this. The school district doesn't employ any staff. There are lots of ways in which they are non-compliant. We just have to figure out what that contractual piece means.
Can I ask a question? When you say they're contracting with the public library, so do they have a space in the school and the public library brings people and books in, or?
Leah, do you want to talk about that?
Can you hear me?
Yeah.
The public library is very close to the school. And so the kids walk over to the public library. So there is no space in the school that is a library, and there is no staff in the school. So the school pays the public library a fee of some amount to serve. And it started, it was originally only the high school. And then 2 years ago, they took over the middle school. And then this year, they took over the elementary. So they have phased out all of their staff and facility at the school.
Okay, so then a catch 20, what are they going to do with the per capita grant money?
Give it to the public library.
They've been turning it over to the public library.
Okay.
And the public library was making a strong argument that they should still be eligible for membership and the grant because they are providing, in Diane Yeoman's opinion, a better library program by contract. And I'm sure they probably are.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
But it doesn't meet the letter of the law was what we came. That was the conclusion we came to, right, Ellen, with Karen Egan? Okay.
That it is a contracted service that the school is providing for the student. So there's a lot of gray in that.
Right.
Well, I know when
Karen said to me this morning, we have to look at the administrative rule.
In my community, when the Forsyth Elementary School was two blocks away, they still went over to the elementary school, but they still had a library in the school, but they went over to the library at the public library too. So it's interesting.
So how much time do the pupils get per week? Or is it like every 2 weeks? I mean, how do they?
I don't know their exact schedule, but it is some sort of routine where they go over. It's probably every 2 weeks. That's what most of them are. And I spent some time studying some of our members who do combine with public and school together. And all of those, in my research, there is still a facility in the school. And they may be contracting for staff, but the school is paying the staff. I was trying to follow it. It's quite intense. Some of them were set up that way. So it's been done that way for many, many years. My fear, of course, as Ellen said, is that as soon as somebody sees that we can do this and still stay a member and still get the grant, they're just going to be like, okay, let's get rid of our school library. Yeah. Because they're not really providing, I don't think they're providing like instruction. They're providing services. They may be providing readers advisory. Mm-hmm. They're suggesting books, but I don't think they're teaching media literacy. They're not teaching research skills. So there's a big part missing, I think.
And our two libraries that do it right and were sort of founded to be a school public combination are Cisna Park and Valmeyer. And I visited both of those, and you know, they're very specific lines drawn as far as how those happen.
And for instance, the librarians must be certified through the state of Illinois to be a school librarian in those two instances. So in this instance, the librarian is not a certified school librarian.
Well, the point that worries me is, rooms in schools seem to be at premium, and I'd hate for them to say, hey, we can get rid of the library because we need this school for other instruction.
Yeah.
And, you know, because we can still use the library, you know, two blocks away.
Yeah, see, my two cents on that is the same thing. I don't like that, but I don't like the fact they're not providing any sort of instruction. Mm-hmm. They're not pushing into the library. They're making you go there. I mean, I like that. That's probably true. The kids are getting more sources than they would get just having, but I mean, they're not even providing like I would think like a traveling library where somebody at the school in a space could have materials available or instruction available, or I'm not sure how that meets certification, but I'm not the expert. So, but I agree. There's too many small schools here in Southern Illinois, like the Southern part, you know, like Crab Orchard and just a lot of those that I think would easily say, oh, I could just go, you know, could I just go to my public library? And that's not even well staffed. So I don't know.
Well, I think if the law comes through on the censorship, and I'm not for censorship, so I want that stated right up front. But as far as the school perspective is concerned, because the schools do have policies on censorship and procedures that they need to follow, and if they're only getting $850 from this grant, there's going to be a lot of administrators saying, no, we're not going to do this. We're not going to have the headache from it. So my theory is that there will be less school libraries, number one, or they won't be getting per capita grant because of the administration will say it is just not worth all this hassle for no more money than they get. So I foresee that as being an issue.
Yeah.
Well, it sounds like you're doing a good job on taking care of it and giving them some time and then hash it out and know next year.
Well, yeah. And good for Karen and Greg to get involved as far as giving us some direction as far as how to interpret the administrative code or if it needs to be tightened up.
Because it's not going to just be a rural library thing. You're going to see some in the Chicago public schools if they figure out, hey, we can just walk down the block to the library. You know, they're going to do this in Chicago too. This is going to be an urban thing too.
I agree. I didn't mean to say that it wouldn't be someplace else. Oh, too.
No, I.
Well, and can I say though, how are they getting around the fact that isn't it a state law that you teach media literacy now? Who's teaching that?
It would be in the English classes.
English or social studies is doing some of it.
Well, actually, some of ours is done in the business classes too. Just at the high school, we're doing it in the business classes because it's like forgot what they call it, freshman seminar or something like that. And so I provide them some resources, but I don't teach it. So, but that is something I think to consider because are they getting it anyplace else? Probably not.
Yeah.
But maybe.
Anything else on those first three, and I can move you down to the second three. The second three are all share members. I've talked to you before about the Gertz Center at Krannert Art Museum at the U of I and the Center for the Asian Educational Media Center at the U of I. Both of those are share members. Both of those don't know how they're going to move forward. And they really haven't done much of anything through COVID. Now, as special libraries, they're not getting per capita grant money. They're not doing much in delivery. So they're sort of dormant over to the side. My guess is after talking to the Asian Educational Media Center that I bet they moved that collection somewhere else at the U of I. People, it's all VHS stuff. People want streaming services. You know, Sarah's laughing. My guess is that's what they'll do. Gertz was very interesting, though, when we spoke with them. They're really looking to do some different outreach into the community. And what they've talked about is developing some curricular packets that could be circulated through the system and as a member share. That's great. I mean, we would love to have some of those things to be able to offer to all our libraries. So Cassandra wasn't there that day. Pamela Thomas and I talked to Gertz at length about what they would like to do. And then our last one, and Leah, if you want to talk about Litchfield High School, you can talk about where they are.
So Litchfield contacted me in the fall and said that they didn't have a librarian and they needed to withdraw. And I talked to Cassandra Cassandra Scher was able to offer them a year, I think it was half fees, so that they could try to keep it going. Because I understood in the fall that it was like a difficulty in hiring someone. When she contacted me in the spring and said, I can't really certify because we don't have anybody and I don't think we're going to have anybody, I called them to make sure they understood that it didn't have to be a certified person. You know, they could go forward with an aide. And she said that the superintendent says there is no money for any employee of any type in the library. So then I tried to contact the superintendent many times, because if they're going to withdraw, they have to withdraw from Scher. And there are decisions to make with regard to their data and how to wrap that up. And when he realized that it wasn't as easy as just dropping out, he said he was going to wait and think about it and get back to me at the end of the school year. So Cassandra and I are going to go visit them either in May, maybe June, when he's not as busy, to talk about what they can do. We're still hopeful. The high school principal really wants to keep it going. So we're still hopeful that maybe we can talk them into coming up with an employee at least 15 hours a week to keep it going.
And really, they haven't been members of Scher for very long, maybe 8 to 10 years. They came in on one of the grants we got. So to do all that work to come in,
yeah,
and then lose it for the students.
He also didn't realize that if they changed their mind, they would have to pay fees to rejoin. So I think he's reconsidering now.
If you can talk him into it for this next year, then he'll be retired. It's true. I know him personally. So.
Oh, do you? Yeah. So maybe we can talk them into it.
So as far as membership goes, I think by the end of the fiscal year, we'll be ready to move on the first three. Even if an agency is non-compliant, like Litchfield High School currently, we can recognize that and the board can make a decision not to take action until they have further information. So I think that's what we would ask you to do for the last three of the six on that report. And we're not talking a lot of time. I mean, we're talking maybe by the beginning of the school year that we would have a good idea of how things are going to go forward. So there's no action required of you at this meeting. We just wanted to put, I used to call them the problem children, on the table so you could know what was going on and know what action might be needed down the road. And it, you know, it's just a good, maybe sad, but a good view of some of the challenge some of the library face. Anything else before we move on? The next piece is the op plan, which you got last Thursday. And this is the first reading for you. You'll have it to look at again at your May meeting. The same with the full board. It will be a first reading in April, a second and final reading in May. This is a very intentional document. Stacy Bushong does a great job of laying the work out for us. One thing that we've done in the last couple of years, which has really helped, is met with other departments as we put this together. So if I say, if Leah and I say we're going to launch this wonderful school recognition plan in the upcoming year, well, probably marketing and communications needs to know about that. So we have discussions about how departments intersect and what we need from each other when we put this operational plan together. If you looked at the beginning of it, you see things like continuing education, trustee training for the board, and for boards writ large as we go into the second year of our trustee training grant, which we are very excited about. We continue to work on issues of diversity, equity, and inclusion. And I'll step back for a minute and tell you, Leah participated in a wonderful panel discussion at SIUE on censorship. And we have, a great new speaker that we're going to try and line up. Timothy, what was his last name, Leah?
Lewis.
Who does work, his degree is in political identity, and he was just fascinating and was very willing to be very frank. So that's my side comment for this meeting, because we've had, in looking at DEI opportunities and trainings, we've had a hard time trying to pin down somebody we want. That can provide training for and information for the whole system, not just a cohort group of 20. So we're looking at that. We're also looking, and you'll see tomorrow at the special board meeting, we are looking at a continuing education person to join the membership team. We're very excited about that because in the past, continuing education has been done by membership, by HR, by marketing and communications. And it's been very piecemeal. And people miss the focused approach that systems had before we went through all the transition of 2010. So it's really good to think about that coming back. Mm-hmm. And we're all looking forward to that. So those are some of the highlights that I can think of as far as the operational plan. Did anybody look at anything that struck them or you'd like us to dig into a little more? I might not know the answer because I know the membership part. I know I proved pieces of it, but I certainly don't know all the backstory to everything.
I just had a question and maybe I missed it. I didn't read this in depth because I was going through. I didn't see anything about the material handler. Did I miss something?
You did. Because I think that came up before Stacy.
Okay, because I thought it would be under facilities, and maybe that's not where it would be. And I know that we haven't made any decisions, but since we have a working group, I thought we should have something on.
I think it's in delivery.
Okay.
I read it in there somewhere. Now I can't find it, but.
I had a couple of questions on this. Under membership is expected with additional staff. Are you talking about the one additional staff? Is that the continuing education coordinator?
Yes.
That was referring to?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay. And then there was another one a data analyst. That wasn't in your membership part, but.
No, you're right. That wasn't in the membership part. You know, that has come up very much as an advocacy piece. And because we have seen the work Rails has done, having a strong data person who can look at information and share stories of that information in a very strong way. And Leah and I are involved with the Isle Working Group, where they have a data person who is working so hard for what, 18 months now about, Leah, to collect data on school libraries and how school libraries are staffed in the state and get some really good data on that ISBE has never had available for people who want to study the impact of school libraries. So as an advocacy tool, having a data analyst on board would be a real strength for us.
I know ISLAC is also using a lot of the data from Rails that their data people are providing when we're looking at the unserved. And so, you know, I don't know if the Chicago Public Library has a person for that also, but I know Rails has been providing a lot. In fact, I think Rails has two people that do that information.
Yeah.
So will this replace somebody or it's just more staff then?
It would be an additional staff person, I believe, Ann.
I just keep looking at, I've looked at the budget and the deficit. So that's why I have a question. Another one, were the libraries ever surveyed before this operational plan was set up to see what ideas they have, to see what services they might want? Because I know when Rails does theirs, they meet with representatives from the libraries to put theirs together. And this is, I'm guessing this isn't done that way. And were there any directors, library directors involved in any of this or surveyed in? Because I keep asking for a anonymous survey to get some real feedback, and that doesn't seem to be something there. I don't know if the administration.
As a director, I just did one or two surveys.
Yeah, there's a delivery survey that's been out. I forget what the other one might be, Stacey. Yeah. And this operational plan goes out to the membership in the same way it goes to you. And we get significant feedback from them.
Okay, because usually after the board has approved it, it goes out to them.
No, it goes out before. But we directors have just had two surveys to all the IHLS directors.
Okay.
How often do we have an operational plan?
Like every year, Linda.
My first year, and it's very thorough. When I went through it, I was very impressed. But it's the first one I've looked at. So,
This goes to the state library with our area and per capita grant application.
Uh huh. The other thing is, you know, you mentioned trustee training. What does that entail? Is this going to be for all trustees of all libraries? New trustees?
No, everybody, Linda. Some of you, and maybe Linda's the best one to point out this to, or to who might remember this. In the 90s, there was a grant to develop what was called an administrative ready reference. And it went through a couple of iterations from a copy on a CD to a copy on a flash drive. And now it lives on the state library's website. That hasn't been updated in a long time. And I will brag a little bit. I think the state library really realized Anna Yackel's strengths in working with boards. And they approached us and said, would we be interested in a grant that would develop a statewide trustee training program? So we said, of course we would. Uh-huh. And so Anna's been working on that for the last year. It's going to be, there will be a second year for the grant to develop more modules to roll it out mm-hmm. with all the fanfare it deserves. And that's what it's going to be, Linda. It's going to talk about responsibilities of boards, Open Meetings Act, resources. It's going to be called I Lead.
Yeah, I saw that. Yeah.
Yep. And that's what it's going to be. So we're really excited about it. And to be asked to do a statewide project like that is really significant.
I've always thought that our instruction is so important to do a good job on the boards and keep things going. We have a good board too here with IHLS, I think. And I'm glad to be part of this group. Thank you.
Do you know, I noticed in the plan that they're going to be offering consulting services to the libraries. Do you, and I believe there was some of this offered before. Do you know how much that is used?
Well, I can answer that in a couple ways. You know, when we first formed Ann, we were told externally by the state library that Linda's nodding her head. We were to provide resource sharing services, which is share and delivery, resource sharing and delivery and support the Talking Books program. That was all we were supposed to do. Well, very slowly, that was expanded. And at one point, I think the direction we were given from the state library was once we had a year's funding in reserve, we could start offering consulting services. Mm-hmm. Now, quite frankly, every time Leah picks up the phone, every time Anna or I picks up the phone, I'm doing what I did when they called me a consultant. You know, I'm helping people mm-hmm. working through whatever challenge their library is facing. So we've been in that mode for several years now. What this is talking about is a much more formal approach. So it started with marketing and communications. And they have said that they're going to have office hours and people can book them to talk about any marketing and communications needs they might have. And they've been successful with that. It's worked. Oh, can you guys hear me?
Uh-huh.
A call came in and I tried to silence it really quickly. They've been very successful with that. And it, you know, it's getting the word out, it's doing things like that, but they've been able to help libraries with their expertise. I think the next department that's going to try it is human resources. Mm-hmm. And Jill Trevino will set up office hours. And if a library wants to book her to talk to them about HR things going on at their library, they'll do it that way. And I think finance is going to do it as well. So this is an approach we're just rolling out, but we're anxious to see how it works. I don't know that membership will do it as formally because, I mean, that's what we do all day anyway.
Yeah.
No, it's just part of your job.
Right.
Yeah. Right. Yeah. Isn't it funny though? We're going back the way it was when we were Lewis and Clark, you know? And it's good though, because I hated that to end. Because everybody kind of needed help. Expert help.
Are there any other questions about the operational plan?
I didn't have any questions. It was nice to see a lot of new things in there that I don't think we're currently doing. So it was nice to see a lot of that mentioned in there.
Good. One of the things that we hope will be new next year is the mobile memory lab that we hope to be able to take around and let people digitize things and just be able to put to use some things that might be helpful that small libraries couldn't afford on their own. Certainly, we've talked a lot about a library of things where we could have things available for libraries to borrow short term that they might not be able to afford on our own. So this, Sarah, some of those new things are part of an out of the box initiative that was started last year that got people thinking about what we might be able to do creatively.
And this is Jenna. I could just add maybe that I appreciate from the school point of view that it's in there that, you know, you've got Leah, you've applied to be able to give continuing education credit for school people. And I think, you know, as we talked, she just said Lewis and Clark, you know, when I was on the board, when it was Shawnee, we offered those things. And Ellen, you got us those things. So I think we are headed in the right direction if we're moving that way to be able to offer things back to schools that I think have been missing in the past few years.
That's right.
That's my two cents.
I think it's huge. And I think the librarians out there will appreciate and attend more because they do have that option available because they can only do so much PD that's going to be paid for. So I think it's huge.
And PDH
go ahead, Jenna. No, I just wanted to say thank you. And there's too many times I hear from people, and generally they are people who are not share members, I do have to add, you know, well, why do I want to be a member? What have they done for me lately? And I know that sounds bad, but I hear that. And I have to say, I was kind of one of those people, which is why I thought I'm going to join the board. We're going to see, you know, what we can do. So I really do appreciate our forward direction. So thanks.
That's my number one goal, because as a former school librarian, I was always sitting in PD that never applied to me. So I want to be able to offer PD that applies to school librarians.
And usually it's free. I mean, it,
yes,
it, when it's we, not we always are. Free, but you know, it.
That's a big goal. Our plan is to offer it free of charge as often as we can. If there were ever anything that we would have to charge for, it would only be if the speaker charged us or something like that. But I'm hoping to kind of model the aisle approach where the members are the experts and they share what they know. And they can also earn PDH for preparing the working on it and sharing it. So hopefully we'll just start a big PDH circle.
I'll just throw one thing out, Leah. I don't know you very well, so nice to see your face on here. One thing, I've been talking to the IECC librarian in the South. One thing I know I'd like to do is like to have more meetings with school libraries that are in my Lakeland College District.
Mm-hmm.
So if you might want to think about maybe partnering with the local community colleges, and we could be the meeting place for a lot of the schools that come in.
That sounds great.
That does. Yeah. I like that.
And we have funding for, you know, food and things like that.
That's how you can always get teachers to show up is provide food. So yeah, I will definitely put that on my list because that is a great idea and not something that I had considered before, but definitely a great idea.
Thanks.
Okay. Are there any announcements? If not, it's 3:38, or I'll entertain a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Thank you, Linda. Yeah. And thank you, Anne, for the second. Okay, we are adjourned. Thank you guys so much for attending.
A wonderful meeting. Thank you.
Bye.
Thank you. Bye.
Bye, everybody. Take care.